Father, we worship you. We praise you. We glorify your name, Jesus. You alone are holy. You alone are worthy, Jesus. And we glorify you and we praise you, Father, for your goodness and for your grace, for the blood of Jesus, salvation through Christ, and no other, Father. Worship you, Jesus. Worship you, Jesus. I got something. A friend of mine is going to share a little something with us for a little bit, and then I got something that's going to rattle you a little bit. I had an experience with God this morning. Early this morning, I don't know what time, for about 10 or 15 minutes, something came upon me. It changed my life forever. Oh, God, it changed my life forever. The Holy Spirit took me to a place of understanding the love of God. It'll damage me forever. Damage me in a good sense. Just trying to make sure I'm obeying him right now. Jesus. Jesus. That our minds would be sold out to you, Lord. Our lives meaning nothing to us. Nothing. Our lives meaning absolutely nothing to us. Not caring whether we live or die, as long as it's for you, Jesus. Take me to that place, Holy Spirit. Teach me. Guide me into the truth that you are. Do not regard my life as anything, Father, but a slave or a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Take us to that place, Abba Father, where nothing else matters but serving you. Kirsten, come on up real quick. Is she here, right? Kirsten. Here you go. Well, I'll come back to this in a little bit. Here you go, Kirsten.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for everything that you have done for us and for what's been done. We thank you, Father, that more and more and more, as we press into your love, that you are changing us from glory to glory into your image. And we thank you, Father, for that. Not by our own works, lest any man should boast, but it's by your Spirit, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you, Jesus. I just want to, just really quickly, I won't take up too much time, just want to kind of continue to talk about what we've all been hearing lately, and that is, do you know who you are? Do you know who you are? We must know who we are. That is the only way that we are going to make it. That is how the disciples made it. That is how Jesus made it. He made it because he knew who he was. When Satan tempted him in the wilderness, he said, if thou be the Son of God. Well, guess what? We are sons and daughters of God. And that is our hope and our promise and our answer forever. And that is what we stand on. We can do nothing in ourselves. It's already been done. Yes, it's already been done. Yes, it's already been done. But we must choose to die daily if we ever think that we're going to get to a place to be like the disciples who walked with no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. How do we think that they got to that place where they were able to lay their lives down? How do we think that they got to that place? They only got to that place by continuing daily, to die daily, to allow the Holy Spirit to perfect them in that love. And that is it. That is it. I just pray that we would all continue, because I know that we're all in this together. Nobody is rising up above anybody else. We are striving together in this. And I just pray that we would just continue and continue and continue to encourage each other, to lift each other up in prayer. And that this is just a quick reminder that we're here because for a purpose. This is a training center. Our focus is to go out into the world. The world is lost. They don't know who they are. There's a huge identity crisis going on. The church doesn't know who they are. Nobody knows who they are anymore. Somebody needs to stand up and know who they are and say, hey, this is who we are. Follow us. Don't look at us, but we're looking and pointing to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that is our hope, Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that we would just, I encourage you that we would just continue and continue and continue to die daily and to believe. Die daily and believe. Die daily and believe. That is it. There is nothing else. Fall in love with Jesus. His perfect love casts out all fear. What is that fear? That fear is the fear of us letting go of our lives, of all the things that we're scared to let go of things. We're scared to let go of our own identity. We're scared to let go of our life, our plans. But the more that we fall in love with God, the more that we will find those answers. The word says, greater love is no man than this, than he that would lay down his life for his friend. That's what we're doing when we choose every day to die, to lay down our lives, to say, not my will, God, but yours. Not my agenda, not my plans, not my words, nothing. So again, I won't keep you, but just hold loosely to all these things in this life. We lay not up for ourselves treasures here on earth, but treasures in heaven. Let's just continue to walk after the Spirit. That is the only way that we make it, the only way. By his Spirit do we mortify the deeds of the flesh, not being focused on sin, not being focused on our faults, but being proactively minded and believing day in and day out for what he's made us and who we are, and that we will make it because we have an answer and a hope in him. All right. That's it, guys. I love you all. Let's get back. I want to hear the good stuff.
Oh, God, I wish you would have kept going. Really? Did that sound like a person that just ministered for the first time in their life? That was incredible, Kirsten. I wish you wouldn't have stopped. I wish you wouldn't have stopped. It's okay. I think we found us a new teacher in this church. You know why? Because she's all about Jesus. That's all that matters. Raise it up a little bit, Mavis, the medley, please. I heard a message Tuesday from Nathan. And this is about. And I have been going through Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and Luke 6 for years. For years. And I was uncomfortable with a portion of that passage because I knew it didn't mean what I thought it meant. It didn't mean what has been preached, and I knew it. And the last 2 or 3 weeks, I began through the Holy Ghost, began to break Luke 6 about the corrupt tree and good tree, and I began to break it, and then I knew it. I knew what it was. But then I heard Nathan preach Tuesday, and I saw the title to his teaching, and I knew he was talking about Luke 6. I said, oh, heck no. I've been meditating this for years. He ain't going to put it out there before me. I said, no. I said, heck no. I've been after this for 2 or 3 years, years meditating Luke 6 and Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I said, no. So I heard his message, and I cut it off within 4 minutes. I said, nope. I'm going to call him, and I'm going to tell him what's in the message that I'm fixing to hear so he would know that I got it first. A little bit of gentle pride. I said, no, Nathan, you're not going to put this out there first. I've been at this for 2 or 3, 4 years to get the understanding of Luke 6. And no, I'm going to show you, buddy, that I got it first. So I texted him. I said, Nathan, this is what you're going to say. Sure enough, almost the exact same thing that he preached Tuesday was what I preached Wednesday night. But how many of you know that it didn't belong to Nathan and it didn't belong to me? It's the Holy Spirit. I mean, it's amazing how somebody 1,200 miles away could have the same mind that I had on Wednesday, or vice versa. Almost all the messages that we're hearing in Tulsa are being taught here. And I was just amazed at that. So Nathan, I got this first because I know he hears the messages that I preach. I got it first, punk. I could have just kept hearing Kirsten. I could have just kept hearing her, really. I'll tell you this much, she's got the next Sunday when we do this. It's going to be all hers. All hers. It ain't going to be mine. It's going to be all hers. I'm just going to be here in that front row hearing her. So Kirsten, you got a month to get ready for the next one. It's going to be all yours. Didn't she sound so awesome? So anointed. So calm and collected in God. Hello. Testing. Thank you, Miss Mavis. Miss Faithful Mavis. Thank you, Mavis, for being here every week, helping. Oralia, you helped us for a long time. Harry, Robert, I know you'd like be like watching Denver Broncos right now. Terry, been so faithful throughout the years, and my wife. I hope I can get this off. I got up this morning, great night's sleep. I woke up, I didn't know what time it was. And I was laying there and I woke up, and I usually, when I wake up, I just usually go into worship. Whether it's, you know, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning or whatever, I just, as soon as I wake up, my body just instinctively just goes into worship mode. Whether I'm laying down or I get on my knees before God. You know, I got up this morning first and I went to the mirror to see myself. And I began to sing to Jesus in the mirror like a dummy. I mean, you know we're dummies that come to this church. You know we're being prepped for something and we're laughing about it. We're being prepped for spiritual martyrdom. Maybe one day laying it all down for physical martyrdom and we laugh about it. Laugh in the good sense like, amen, we got this. This isn't your ordinary church. Kirsten nailed it. This is a training ground. This isn't about building an empire. We don't come together, me and Pastor Brunt, with ways to increase our attendance. If that's the agenda of the church, you're several degrees off of the mind of Christ. This is a training ground to prep young men and women to go out into the God's harvest field and to make a difference regardless of what it takes, regardless of what it costs us. That's what this church is about. It's about no glory for any individual. If you want glory for yourself, you're not qualified for the kingdom. You're not qualified to be a disciple of the kingdom. So I woke up this morning. I went to the mirror first a little bit. Kept looking in it. What'd you see? In the natural? Nothing. I didn't see nothing. But in the spirit, I could see God's word. I could feel God's word. So I laid down on my bed. I began to go over John 3:16 over and over again. Over and over again. We all know it, for God so loved the world. You know, we could change the phrasing of John 3:16 because God is what? God is what? So you could easily put for love so what? Love the world. Right? Right or wrong? If God is love, then we could say that so love the world, because that's what love what? That's what it does. Love can do what? Nothing else. Love can't hate. So I began to say, God so loved the world, so loved the world. And the Holy Spirit took me to a place, a vision in my mind. Well, how many of you here, you have a loved one or two, that if somebody came to physically hurt them, that you would shed your blood to defend them? How many of you have somebody here that you would do that for? All of us. Now, wouldn't that be an ultimate love on your part? We're going to redirect that question. We're going to rethink that question. And the Lord put my little David, my little son, in my midst, in my mind. Not because he's a favorite. I love all my kids. I got 6 kids and 10 grandkids. But David's the different one. David comes home from school, and there's something about his voice. Whether I'm spending the day in prayer here or whether it's at the house, he'll come in and say, "Hey, Dad," just like that. It's like if you give me $1 million. He'll walk in from school, and I'm on my desk praying. He says, "Hey, Dad." There's just a way that he says that, just it's like somebody just gave me everything in the world. He says, "Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad. Hey, Dad." So you said and I said that there's one or two people in the world that we would die for. If you come mess with my wife or my kids, I'd give it all I had to defend them. I'd do the same thing for you. I could do it, and yes, I could. I could do it. And we said that was ultimate love. But it isn't. The Father was showing me this morning how much he loved me. He said, "What?" He showed me how much he loved me. And it did something to me. It messed me up real bad. God, it messed me up so bad. How dare me ever offend somebody again? Or take an offense or say anything about anybody? How dare me talk about a child of God? I says, for God so loved the world, so loved the world. That's all God is. God can do nothing but love. And you know what? The love that he is what is in our spirit. So that should be our same spiritual disposition to love always like he loved. So I asked you, and I determined within myself that if you mess with any of me or my kids, I would shed my blood defending their honor, and I would. Give it all. If a man try to come into my house and molest my wife or hurt my daughters, I'm going to go to the end. I'm going to swing till I got nothing left in me. Till I can't even breathe or move, I will fight myself to exhaustion to defend the honor of my wife. But that's not ultimate love. And when the Holy Ghost began to show me this, it was incredible. Because I saw my little David he had a red shirt on. I remember Lord showed me how much he loved me in a very distinctive, different way. I would defend my kids to the death. Even right now, for a season in the natural that I can't see, I'd swing away till I hit something. I'd swing and swing and swing till I hit somebody that was messing with my kids. I would swing away to the point of exhaustion. I'd give it all I had. Somebody came in here to mess with Terry. Another man came here to mess with Terry or Kirsten. I'd stand up in their honor. No, if you want to hurt my sister, sir, I'm sorry. You got a fight coming. Well, I'll beat you up, Pastor Homer. Well, you know what? You're going to have to. It's going to take more than you physically beating me up for me not to defend their honor. You're going to have to kill me, sir. Well, I will. Well, you're going to have to, because you're not going to touch my sisters. Well, I'll kill you slowly. Well, kill me slowly, but you're not going to touch my sister. As long as I have breath in me and strength, you're not going to touch him. So be it. Okay, well, so be it. Give it your best shot, mister, but you're not going to touch him. And that sounds commendable, and it is, because I would do it. But there's a love that surpasses that. And I was in the background, and you agreed with me, and I agreed with you that we would defend each other's honor. If there's somebody in your life that you loved, you would defend, and I know you would. But this was so different. The Father was showing me how much he loved me. Now, my little David, I wore a shirt one time that, because he used to tell me all the time, come on, Chubbs, let's tussle. He used to love to wrestle with me. He used to say, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? Because I was a little bit fatter then. I'm a little skinnier now. He said, hey, Chubbs, you want to tussle? So I put that on the shirt, and I preached about that one time to a bunch of men, and they loved it. But what the Lord showed me through that, through David, was David always wanted to wrestle with me and tussle with me. What he wanted was his dad's sweat on him. What he wanted to do was rub shoulders with his dad, to wrestle with his dad. And I tell my boys, Julie and Elijah and Nathaniel, you know, they're getting older now. They don't want to be hugging dad all the time. And I love their hugs. I love their hugs. They're getting older now. So come here, give daddy a big old hug. And they do what it's like, dad. They'll know what I'm talking about one day. My little granddaughter, Jalen. The best feeling a man can have is when his kids hug him, when his granddaughter, and my little granddaughter, Mia, and that just, there's not another feeling. Is David in here, baby, or not? Good, I don't want him in here for this. The Father was showing me how much he loved me. And David, now the Lord put David in my midst, in my mind. I didn't put him there. It's like the Holy Ghost put him there. Now David, he's a little scaredy cat. When it thunders in the room, loud, and when it thunders outside and he hears it, I count down the seconds. By the time he gets in to get to the room, into the living room, because he gets scared. Lightning real loud, he comes in here. And I look at him and I say, David, you don't have to be scared, son. Jesus is with you. I said, don't you know, son, that daddy will always take care of you? Yeah, dad, I know. Don't you know, David, that daddy would die defending your honor? Yes, dad, I know, but I'm still scared. Don't you know, David, that Jesus can beat up the devil? Yes, I know, dad. David, don't you know that I would die defending you, son? When he gets sick, he comes to daddy because he knows I'll pray for him. And the Holy Ghost gets the sickness off of him. So David's different. So the Lord was showing me how much he loved me. And you said, and I said, that an awesome love would be for me to defend your honor, and you would defend the honor of one that you loved. There's a love that far surpasses that. What about this? My little 10-year-old Dave, my little chubby David. What if instead of me defending his honor to keep him alive, what if I had to let him go to be a sacrifice to die in my midst and in my eyes? What about if I had to let him go with all that was in him being born of my DNA? What if I was to let him go, okay? What if I would willfully have to say, you gotta die a treacherous death, David? And I saw him. And I saw him, he was wearing a red shirt. And I'm not getting flaky, you just gotta hear me out. Don't comment on it till you hear what I'm gonna say. And I saw David on the cross. I saw him on the cross. Like Jesus was crucified. And he was in a lot of pain. He was in a lot of pain. He said, Dad, this hurts. Dad, this hurts. Dad, you said you'd protect me, Dad. And I was in the back of the scene. I was just there looking at him. Dad. Dad, this hurts, Dad. Where you at, Dad? You said you would always protect me. Remember, the Father showed me how much he loves me. And he was there on the cross, his fat face, and being offered up. Dad, if I die, who's gonna tussle with you, Dad? You gonna wrestle with that if I die? And I couldn't answer him, Miss Terry. I couldn't answer him back. Dad, this hurts, Dad. It hurts. Help me, Dad. Dad, who's gonna wrestle with you if I die? Who, Dad? Who's gonna tussle with you, Dad? Who's gonna tussle with you? Oh, Dad, this hurts, Dad. Help me, Dad, this hurts. I'm in pain, Dad, help me. And I, from a distance, I wanted to apologize to David, but I couldn't apologize. I couldn't apologize. I wanted to go help him physically and get him off that cross, but I couldn't. I knew I couldn't. I knew I could not, because humanity, the salvation of a world, relied on this sacrifice. Dad, it hurts, Dad. You said you would always help me. You said you would always help me. You said you would die for me, Dad. Where are you at? And I wanted to apologize. I said, David, I couldn't apologize. Oh, I knew I could not. I knew apologizing to David would have been out of order. And I didn't, I couldn't. I wanted to so bad. Son, I love you. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. But I couldn't apologize. I couldn't. In this dream, in this vision, I couldn't apologize to him. David had to go through what he went through as a sacrifice for the gain, for the salvation of society. He had to. And I knew he had to, so therefore I had to let him go, and I couldn't offer an apology to him. Dad, this hurts, Dad, this hurts. You said you would always be there for me, Dad. You said, Dad, you would always protect me. You said, Dad, And I could hear the words coming from him. And I wanted to apologize to my little boy, but I knew I could not. I knew this had to be done. I knew it had to be done. I couldn't say a thing. I couldn't interfere. I couldn't do nothing. I had to let it happen. I had to let it happen. I had to let it happen. And he was there in agony. I had to let it happen. I wanted to offer up an apology. Rosie, I want to say, David, I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. But I could not. I knew in this dream, in this vision, I could not say I'm sorry to him. I couldn't interfere. I couldn't say nothing. I had to let it happen. Does that remind you of a story in the Bible? Now, David's not going to be crucified. This is not about that. The love of God is this. Listen. Defending David, defending Elijah, Julie, Nathaniel, my wife, anybody here, that I could do that. I could shed my blood to defend them. I could shed my blood for me and my granddaughter, for Jalen, my granddaughter, for Quentin and Priscilla. I could do that. I could stand in front of them and take a bow. I could do that. If it took my head to be cut off from my kids, I could do it. I know I could. I know I could. I know I could. No problem. But to take my blood and to set them as a sacrifice, as a father, to take the fruit of my loins, my little 10-year-old son, and to let him be offered up as a sacrifice for the world? Could I do that right now? If that doesn't show me and you the love of God, if that doesn't touch you and minister to your soul, then nothing ever will. That he willfully that his own son, born of his loins, a spiritual DNA. Gotta go, son. Son, you gotta go. What did Jesus say? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? What did he say in the Garden of Gethsemane? Not my will be done, but your will. You don't think God the Father's head over heels in love with you that he would send his son? Send his son to be the ultimate perfect sacrifice for the remission of our sin and for the salvation of mankind, even those that would reject him. Jesus Christ was still that sacrifice for them, for every rapist, for every murderer, for every fornicator, for every adulterer, for every homosexual. Jesus Christ was the sacrificial lamb. And God said, son, you gotta go. This is my perfect redemptive plan. You have to go. Perfection, purity, love, mercy, forgiveness hung on the cross freely for my redemption and for your redemption. For love so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, and whosoever, and I stopped at the word whosoever in this vision, I stopped there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God gave, you know, love always gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God, love always gives, my friends, it always gives. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, and I stopped at the word whosoever. But Jesus, what does whosoever include? That word whosoever is not a select group. It's not just the Apostle Paul and Peter and the saints of God. That whosoever is the rapist, that whosoever are the ones being beheaded and buried alive in Pakistan. 70 people were buried alive with their children in graves in Pakistan because they believed in Jesus Christ. They are those whosoevers. And you know who else are the whosoevers that if they called upon the name of Jesus, they would be saved? You know who else is a whosoever? The ones that buried the little kids in the graves are the whosoevers. The Muslim that hates the Christian, he is also a whosoever that even on his deathbed, if he cries out to the name of Jesus Christ, he will be born again. Saddam Hussein was even a whosoever. Osama bin Laden was also a whosoever. The doctor that slaughters hundreds and thousands of babies every year in abortion, he is a whosoever if he would call upon the name of the Lord. The father gave his own son, gave him. It's one thing to defend your son, but to give him as a sacrifice, to give him freely for the salvation of the world, that's another thing. I love my little David. I don't know if I could do that. Dad, you said you'd protect me. You said that you would always be there for me. Dad, it hurts. Dad, it hurts. It hurts that I'm in pain. Dad, where are you? I couldn't interfere. I couldn't intercede for him. I couldn't say, son, I'm sorry, David. I'm sorry. I couldn't say it. I was not allowed to. The Father. In his infinite love that he is, sent his son with the same mentality. This has to be done, son. This has to be done for the redemption of mankind. Kirsten spoke by the Holy Ghost. This is all about laying it down, man. This is about carrying that cross daily and following Jesus. It hurts, Dad. It hurts in his little chubby face. I could see his face. Dad, where are you, Dad? This hurts, Dad. I know, son. I know it hurts. I can't do nothing about it. This has to take its course. Oh my God, that we could ever conclude the love that God has for us through Jesus Christ. That blood was shed even for those that wouldn't receive him as Redeemer. For every Muslim or every person in the States that despises his name, that blood was still shed for them. My God, if we could ever conclude how much God the Father loves us by sending his own son as the ultimate perfect sacrifice for our redemption. That changed me forever when I woke up. That changed me forever. That's the God that we serve. That's the God that we serve. For love so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, that one Christian that you hate and despise, he or she's a whosoever. That gay person that you despise because they're gay, that gay person is a whosoever. That Muslim who buried those 70 families alive, he is a whosoever. Hitler, Stalin, they are whosoevers. If they call upon the name of the Lord. We have to be real careful who we talk about, my friends, or who we offend or take an offense against, because they are whosoever's. That messed me up real bad, Miss Terry. It messed me up real bad this morning. It messed me up so bad. God, it messed me up. Now I know why 10 of the 12 could lay down their life. I know why they could lay it down now. This is a training center, my friends. We're being taught how to be spiritual martyrs first. And if that honor ever comes, we got to lay down our life. We salute that 5-star general in heaven. And we say, sir, your will be done. Do you want that? No. God, no. We're being trained here to live a crucified life, to love no matter what. This is about Jesus and about nothing else. Either this is very boring or it's hitting the spot because it's very quiet in here. You are different, not because you're different, but because you have no sense to come to this church. You have no sense. You have no quitting sense. You're not very smart if you come here, because all you hear about is fasting, prayer, and saying no to the flesh. All you hear about is loving Jesus. We have no itinerary, no curriculum here. We don't have the million-dollar budgets. We don't have the fancy programs. We don't have the feeding hall to feed you food every service. We don't have that here. But what we do have is an absolute truth that will take you all the way into Jesus Christ, even if it means death. That's what we have here. And my friends, that is what I want. I want nothing else but to know him and the power of his resurrection. That's all I want. I want nothing else. I don't want nothing else. I've gone too far to want anything else. And so have you. Because you're crazy if you come here. We're being taught how to lay down our lives. How to mortify our members. How to say no to the lust of the flesh. To serve the living God. Now I know, and I'm almost done. I want to pray for some of you. Now I know why in 2 Peter chapter 1. Now I know. I'm almost done. Stay with me. Now I know, Kirsten. Now I know. I read this the other day and I had to stop and I went through it and I thought it in my mind, in my mind, in my mind. And now I know why Peter said, it messed me up real bad, man. I'm sorry for ever mistreating any of you in the past. Ever walking by you and ignore you. I'm so sorry. You are whosoever. Forgive me. God, forgive me. That you would forgive me. Because God is love. And the love that he is, Miss Terry, lives inside of our spirit. And if he is love and he walked in love through Christ, he's then guess who also should walk in love? Me and you, because that's who we are at core, is love. Now I know why Simon Peter said at the end of chapter 1 of 2 Peter, now I know. He said these words. He said, I know I'm about to put off this my tabernacle. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Simon Peter said that, I know I am about to put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Simon Peter died a martyr. And this is the amazing thing, Kirsten. This is the amazing thing. That the God that he served, the God that he worshiped and served, now says, Simon Peter, I got to show you a little something. Yes, Lord. You're fixing to lay it all down, Simon Peter. You're fixing to be martyred. Catch that image. Catch that magnificent valor. Catch the valor of a man that denied Jesus 3 times. Catch his valor. He was known as Simon Peter as a coward. He wasn't a coward anymore. He wasn't a coward anymore. He stood in the face of adversity. He said, I know that I am about to put off this, my tabernacle, my body. I'm about to put it off. Even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Jesus showed him, you're going to be martyred. He said, my Lord had showed me this. This is the thing God shows me and you, plenty of things. Some are disannulled and some we do. But listen to what he said. I'm paraphrasing, of course. He said, Jesus Christ has shown me that I'm going to put off this, my tabernacle. How many of you know that martyrdom is a choice? That if someone kills you without your consent, you're not a martyr. A martyr lays it down because he chooses to. He said, I know I am about to put off this, my tabernacle. So he said, I am about to put off this, my tabernacle. Even as Jesus has showed me, I am about to put off this, my tabernacle. I am going to hear his word. He told me to lay down my life. I have that choice. I'm going to lay down my life. And we know he was crucified upside down at his own personal request. He said, don't you crucify me like Jesus. I'm not worthy to be crucified like him. And he was crucified upside down for 3 days, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're crazy if you come to this church. You're a nut. You have no sense. We have no sense, Terry, we come here. Of course, you know I'm being sarcastic. I am about to put off this, my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. I'm not trying to scare any of you. It'll never happen to us, probably. But we got to love him just like Kirsha said in the beginning. We got to love him so much that it doesn't matter if we are asked to lay it down. Jesus is looking for a few good men and women that he wants to be able to say, Carl, there's a little village in Iraq that I need you to go to, Carl. Kevin, there's a little village in Afghanistan that I need you to go to. Terry and Kirsten, I need you to tag team and I need you to go to Turkey. Harry and Robert, I need you to go to Russia. Oh, and by the way, Harry and Robert. By the way, Carl and Kevin, when you go together, Terry and Kirsten. And by the way, Harry and Robert, when you leave, this is what he's looking for. He's looking for soldiers, man. He's looking for soldiers. Harry and Robert, by the way, when you walk out that door, I want you to take a look at Mavis, your sisters, and your mom and your dad. Because Harry and Robert, you're not going to be coming back. Carl, Kevin, make the phone call to Dallas, Kevin. Because you won't be seeing them again. Are we after that? No. No, we're not after that. But we're after the mindset, Kirsten, that says, I don't care whatever you want, Jesus. Whatever you want, I will do. That's what Jesus is after, men and women of God that will lay it all down regardless of the cost. I told you it messed me up. It messed me all up. It messed me up, Carl. It messed me up bad. God, it messed me up so bad. I'll never be the same again. I will never be the same. I will never be the same. I know what my future holds in God. I know what it holds. My friends, and I won't go home of sickness. I can tell you that much. Either I'll be martyred, I'll be raptured, or I'll go home when I'm done. And I look forward to going forward. I look forward to marching forward. Wherever he may take me, I look forward to it. Kirsten set the tone to a T, what she said in the beginning. This is about Jesus. Homer, I'm going to have to send you to India. Homer, I'm going to ask you to lay down your tabernacle so you kiss Miss Rosie. And you start from the oldest to the youngest. Priscilla, I love you, baby. Julie, I love you. Elijah. Amberly, Quentin, Jordan, Nathaniel, David, Diamond, Cameron, Ariana, Adriana, baby Andrew, baby Quentin, maybe Ayana, maybe Amari, maybe Jalen, maybe Mia. Daddy, Grandpa won't be coming back. Where are you going, Grandpa? I got to be about my father's business. Elijah, be strong, son. Be strong, Nathaniel. I chose this life. I chose to be a disciple. This is the life that I chose. And if you come here, not all of you, you all don't have to have this disposition. Y'all, you don't have to want what we want. And you're fine and secure in God. But I'm telling you, keep coming here too much, you're going to get messed up, man. Amen? You'll get messed up. But this is the life that I choose. This is what I choose. I choose him. I just see too much need. I just see too much need everywhere to want anything else. I was at a baseball game yesterday and a guy that was in a wheelchair, been there forever. I didn't want to say it, nothing to him. I'm in the natural, I can't see hardly anything. And I looked at him and I said, what happens when you plant a seed? And he didn't hear me at first. I said, what happens when you plant a seed? He said, it grows. I said, if you would allow me, can I plant a seed in you, sir? You got to understand, he's in a wheelchair. He's hurt pretty bad. Been there for a while. Unless the Holy Ghost comes, he'll be there till he goes home. And here I am. I can't see nothing. I don't know where he's at. I'm saying, well, where are you at? I got to talk to you. I said, can I sow a seed in you? He said, yeah. I said, I promise you. I said, just like I promise you, you will walk again. I promise you, you will walk again. There's just too much need to go to a religious church. There's just too much need. There's too much need in God's kingdom to worry about numbers in the church, to worry about being heard, or worrying about this and that. Now, there's good, and there's street ministry is good, and feeding the poor is good. But you know, you can be a pervert and still feed the poor. But you can't be a pervert and lay down your cross. You can be a fornicator and feed the poor. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeding the poor. I want to do that pretty soon. But you can do that and still not serve Jesus. But you can't take up your cross daily and be a fornicator and adulterer. That's called discipleship. Abba Father is in love with you. He sent of his own for 3 days. The Father, in closing, had to sit back and say nothing as his beloved Son was torn apart for the remission of every homosexual, of every lesbian, of every rapist, of every murderer in the world. My friends, we have work to do. Our life has to be that of denying ourselves daily, of digging the scriptures, fasting and praying and spending time with Jesus Christ, saying no to the flesh. A lot of people come to me for counsel. Look, let me tell you one thing. I got my own flesh to worry about. I can't carry your cross. Neither do I want to carry your cross. Neither am I qualified to carry your cross. There are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. You say no to your flesh, and that's all there is to it. There's not much I can tell a person. I'll tell them what I did when I struggled with my flesh, but there's nothing that I can do for an individual that's still flirting with the world. I can't do nothing for you, nothing. You got to determine within yourselves that you're born again, that you're a child and daughter of God, and that sin cannot and will not dominate you. That power was given at the rebirth. I can't take up your cross. Neither do I want to take up your cross. And I can't take up your cross. I have to take up my cross daily. You got to take up your cross daily. Denying yourself daily. Why? I just don't want to be a good Christian. I want to make a difference for my Father in this dark, perverted, ugly world, regardless of what it takes. I never thought in my life I would ever fall in love with fasting. And I can tell this class here, now I fast more than what I eat, because it's brought a peace to me and a healing to my body. I never thought I could indulge in fasting till I tasted the goodness of the Lord. Come with me, friends. Come with Jesus on this journey of selling out Carl, selling out Kevin, Harry, Robert. I don't know who else is here. Come with us on this journey. Kevin, you didn't move from Dallas down here just by coincidence. You came down here for a reason. Emily, Malina, I don't know if they're here or not. Come with us on this journey. Anyone here, come with us. Oh, and in case you don't know, at the end of the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter said, when it's all said and done, Carl, there will be a crown of glory. Harry, a crown of glory. A crown of glory there. Given to us, whether it's physical or spiritual, I don't know. I don't care. I just know that there's something on the other side and that he's worth dying for. Amen. It hurts, Dad. I know, son. Jesus had to go what he went through for our redemption. Remember that next time before you want to be mean to somebody. The one you're being mean to is a what? To whosoever. Amen. You got what it takes, my friends. All you really need is the willpower and the mindset that I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. You're crazy if you're here tonight, man. You could have gone anywhere else and they would have fed you and maybe watched the film and maybe gone to a movie, but no, you're here hearing about martyrdom. You dummies. You're not very smart. No, my friend. You're very smart. You're very smart. When it's all said and done, Miss Terry, we open up our eyes and we behold that glory. We'll thank Pastor Dave Roberson that he brought this teaching unto us, and Gary Carpenter, and Alan Taylor, and Bronk Flint, and Pastor Jim Martin, and Barry Johnson. You'll thank those men that they labored in the faith to teach us what they know. Guess we can't forget about Nathan either, can we? Amen. Now, friends, there's something on me that I've never experienced before. If you need prayer for anything, I'm not going to say nothing to you unless he leads me to. I want to lay my hands on some of you if you'd like. I want to lay my hands on you. There's something working in me. And I want to lay my hands on some of you if you would like. I myself, I'm nothing, man, without Jesus. Listen to this. And Jesus rose from the dead according to what? The what? The glory of the what? Of the Father. Then we rose from spiritual death by what? By the glory of what? The Father. First Peter talks about glory. A lot talks about the crown of glory. Talks about glorifying Jesus. Then it talks about God's glory living in us. Then it talks about the glory of God that brought us from spiritual death to spiritual life. It talks about God's glory out in the book of 1 Peter. The words that I speak to you, these are kingdom words. They're His words. I was born again by His glory. His glory lives in me. His glory bore me again. His glory lives in me. When I live out of my spirit, I bring Him glory. And when I bring Him glory, if I keep walking this walk, I'm going to receive a crown of glory. So all that I have and all that I've done comes from who? From Him. So who am I to think that I am anything in the Father? The words that I offer to you tonight, they're His words. Who am I? Who am I that I would want any glory for anything? It's all His. The power for miracles, it's His. It's not mine, it's His. The glory that quickened me from death unto life, it's His. The glory that lives in me, it's His. The glory that I glorify Him with, it's His. The crown of glory, He gives it to me. Then who am I? It all comes from Him. Who are we to ever think that we are anybody? It all comes from Him. Without Him, we had a final judgment rendered against us. We had the lake of fire awaiting for us. But then His goodness came and we became something through who He is and who He will always be. Who are we? Who am I? It's all by His glory. You're crazy for coming here. You dummies. You might not come back again after hearing tonight. If you're here tonight, you want me to just lay my hands on you and pray for you, just come stand. You might not need prayer. I think there's a few that want to just take this to the extreme. Let's just come stand together, close together if you can. I don't even know who's here, who isn't. I want my wife to come walk with me, please. Lord, I'm waiting. Put you our holy Mavis, please. Again, Mavis, thank you so much for your help back there. Thank you, Alia. You have helped us for years, and all you guys that have labored. Thank you. Thank you. Wait a little bit longer. Anybody else? Anybody else? You're crazy for coming here. You're crazy. Bunch of crazy people. You're crazy.